Nikki and Anne Marie are here, and they have put together an event that is happening this Saturday. And it's an event that's like partly something that we have done in the past, but they've taken it and put a twist on it. Back in the day, and I don't know if we told you guys this, we used to do a zero K, where literally we gathered a group together, we had beer, we fired off a gun, and then we just stood there looking at each other. Right. That was the whole, we're not running, we refuse, we just want to gather together for a good cause. Well, so now Nikki and Anne Marie are doing a 0.5K superhero beer run. And they have put this together with 11 Lakes Brewing in Cornelius. And it's I'll let you guys describe it, but it's, first of all, we love it. It's like right down our alley. So that's why we wanted to make sure we had you guys on the radio. Explain like what the situation is with this.
So this is kind of the run for non-runners, if you will. We kind of looked at it from like, what would we want to do? And I don't want to get up at 6 a.m. on a Saturday. So.
No one does.
Right.
It starts at 10:30 at 11 Lakes. It's a total of a mind-blowing 1,640 feet.
Still too much, but go ahead.
Listen, my husband will probably give you a piggyback ride for half of it if you need it.
I was hoping for that. Yeah. That was what I was aiming for the whole time.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll just
bend over.
Throw it out an extra donut.
Wow. We're going to save it for Saturday.
What kind of piggyback ride involves bending over?
Well, okay. I mean, I'm not going to leap up onto his shoulders.
You guys can discuss over a lunch.
I feel like I'm owed dinner.
Yes, a minimal.
We'll see how good you
are.
So at the starting line, we're all going to cheers with a beer that's donated by 11 Lakes. At the halfway point, when we know you guys will be exhausted, you can carb up at the donut station.
Now the halfway point, see if my math is right, we're talking about 800 feet.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So at the halfway point, you have a donut. All right.
Yeah, gotta get that energy
boost.
Hang on,
I'm writing this down. Yeah. Okay.
And then you go the next 800 feet and you celebrate with a beer because you finished.
You're done.
It's an amazing accomplishment.
And beer, you get the donut, beer.
Right. And then you get, for your effort, you get the pretentious 0.5K sticker, which you are currently holding.
Very nice.
And a participation medal, which everyone, who doesn't want
to. Yeah, they were nice enough to bring us these. First of all, the sticker, that's great. The 0.5K. Mm-hmm. That also says I have commitment issues on it. And then the medal, as opposed to the medal you'd get at a traditional run, is a beer bottle opener on a slab of metal, like a nice, a heavy duty.
But it's like credit card shaped, so you can slip that right into your wallet.
Yeah.
And always have an opener on it.
Functional alcoholic. So you slide it into your wallet, you're good.
Yeah. But it's on on a metal, thing, so it's around your neck. That's awesome.
Yeah. A 9-pound wallet.
And so this is all being done. I don't even know if you mentioned this, because obviously the goal of it is to do some good other than just having beers and donuts for Be the Match. And explain what that is for folks who don't know.
So Be the Match is the National Marrow Donor Registry. And for people who have leukemia, blood cancers, sickle cell, they can all be cured by a process which would either be a peripheral blood stem cell transplant or a bone marrow transplant. Be the Match is where you go to find your donors. So only 25% of the time, people who need a donor find one in their family. And for people like me, because 6 years ago I had a transplant from an unrelated donor, I had to go to the registry to find that person. So we're raising money to help find more donors and to help find more cures.
Before we get back to that, and we had like an hour-long conversation before we went on the radio to talk about all that goes on at Be the Match, tell people your story about how you were diagnosed, because it was at an amazing time in your life and what you had to go through sort of as part of that process.
It was a pretty crazy time. It was in June 2011. I was 58 days away from my wedding. I just sold a house. I was in the process of selling a business, and I knew something was off, but I honestly am so type A and high strung. I was like, I'm just tired. I need a massage. It's fine.
Right.
So I went to the doctor to get an insurance checkup. And the next day I had 5 missed calls on my phone between 7 and 7:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And the first call was like, hi, you need to call us back. And it kind of gradually got worse and worse until the last call was, I hope you're not answering because you're in the emergency room. Because if you're not in the emergency room, that's where you need to be.
What?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I hope you're not answering this because you're already at the hospital.
Yes. Like,
and that was 5 calls in a half hour at 7 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. And you know, like everybody, I didn't answer the phone if I don't know the number. So right. I was like, who's calling me this
early?
I'll
leave a message if it's important.
Yeah. Exactly.
It was kind of important.
Yeah.
And if they're lucky, I'll actually listen to it.
So then what happened? What did you do?
So I was calling and calling back because, honestly, I have this theory that sometimes God makes you stupid and just to protect you. And so I was like, this is so dumb. I don't know why these people are calling me. And I couldn't get a hold of the lady. So I was like, I'm just going to drive over there. And so I got in the car and started driving to the doctor's office. And she called me right as I was about to pull in. And there was a standalone ER next door. And she said, don't come here. Go to the ER. Your blood levels are critically low. And at the time, that meant nothing to me. And I was like, okay, so I'm anemic. I'll take an iron pill. Why are you freaking out?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Words.
Yeah. Yes. Like, okay.
Stupid words.
And so I walked in the ER and they were like, why are you here? And I was like, oh, some dumb doctor told me I need to come over here. I don't know what's wrong with her. She's really, like, she was brand new. She had just graduated. So I was convinced she just didn't know what she was doing.
Right. Some baby fake doctor told me my blood's low. Yeah, whatever that means.
They couldn't find her to ask her. They couldn't find her in the registry, in the phone book, in the phone registry.
That's how new she was.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how new she was. So they couldn't go, hey, Dr. So-and-so, we have, you know, Emery Servos here. They were just like, I don't know.
Yeah. Which is why I drove over there. So I had this awesome, like, huge doctor with a concert t-shirt on in the ER, and he's like, okay, well, we're gonna run some blood work, just chill out. I was like, all right, you're my kind of dude, all right. And about 15 minutes later, he walked in with his head hung down and like looked a little defeated, and he goes, I don't know what's wrong with you, but something's really wrong with you, and you need a blood transfusion immediately, and I can't give it to you because if I do, it'll cover up what's going on. So I've got an ambulance here. We're going to take you downtown to the hospital. And I, of course, interrupted and was like, I'm not riding in an ambulance. Only sick people ride in an ambulance. That's ridiculous. Because
wow.
I still really didn't get it at the time. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I can't let you drive. Like, if there's somebody that can come get you, you can sign out AMA against medical advice, but you're not driving. And I suggest you take this ambulance and go straight to the hospital.
Wow.
So I called my mom and was like, these stupid people, man, I don't know what's wrong with them. And so my mom came and drove me to the hospital. As soon as we got there, they, like, you know, get you in the bed immediately and started running all kinds of tests, and then started giving me blood transfusions, did a bone marrow biopsy. And then the next day, which would have been Thursday, June 23rd, I was down in CAT scan, having CAT scan done. And at larger hospitals, they have these guys called transporters that push you around in your bed.
Uh-huh.
So you never actually see a doctor with a patient in the hallway. So when they brought me out of the CAT scan, there was a doctor standing there. And I was like, oh, okay. Maybe this actually is a problem. And so the doctor, like, rode with me up to the 26th floor. And he kept asking, like, where my family was. And I was like, they have a job. They're at work. I was such a brat because I totally didn't get it. Like,
yeah,
he was like, is your mom in your room? And I was like, no, she's at work. She has a job. You know, like, is your fiance in your room? I'm like, nope, he has a job too. So he came in my room with me while they put me back in my bed. And then he literally just stood there. He was also new, by the way, brand new resident. Oh. Stared at his feet for a really long time and then excused himself and came back with a nurse and then stared at his feet some more. And then just looks up and says, you have leukemia. And I just was like, okay, cool. Can we deal with that after I get married? Because I'm getting married in 58 days. Because obviously I didn't know what leukemia was at the time.
Right.
And he just looked at me and said, honey, you're not going to get married. Mm. And
Oof. There
was just this, like, awkward silence. And I did the totally Southern thing and finally just said, okay, thank you. Just get him to leave the room.
Good talk.
Yeah.
Wow.
So over the next couple of days, what we found out is that I had been diagnosed with AML and ALL leukemia, which AML is incredibly aggressive, and they did not expect me to last through the weekend. So I was diagnosed on Thursday, and at the time, they thought that I wouldn't make it to Sunday.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. So I'm just so incredibly blessed with all the friends of mine and my husband's that, like, kind of came around us. And one of my girlfriends is an attorney. She went down to the courthouse and talked some judge into signing some paperwork so that we could get married without the waiting period. And I called the priest at the church and was like, "Hi, I need to get married on Sunday." And he was just like, "Well, I have church on Sunday." I was like, "Okay, what time is church done?" He's like,
"Yeah, what time are you done with that?"
He was like, "I'm done at 1. I was like, "Okay, you're going to marry me at 2. And I just hung up. And I randomly sent out an email to everybody that just said, and you have to understand, I'm so type A for our planned wedding. I had handmade invitations. I'd worked so hard on all this stuff, which kind of just transpired to.
Yeah, it was a small deal in New Orleans, and so it was just going to be, a few of us and just meticulously planned. And, for that to kind of go sideways on her was kind of a blessing because she was just like, "I'm sick. Bring it."
So my email subject line was, "This is a crappy email." And then it just said, "1. I have cancer. 2. I'm getting married Sunday at 2:00. 3. If you're sick, you can't come."
Wow.
And that was it. That was my wedding invitation.
Wow.
So we had friends tailgate in the hospital parking garage.
I love you guys. I love you. That's my favorite
deal. We
had our reception in the lovely DeBakey Lounge, where you're supposed to wait for your appointment.
Right.
It turns out that it was actually on closed circuit TV because we didn't know that the chapel is just broadcast all the time.
Why would they do that?
I don't know. Well,
who's looking down the chapel?
So everyone in the hospital saw your wedding.
Tuning into the chapel channel. Yeah. Tonight. Yeah. Chapel.
That's kind of creepy though, right? The TV part.
Very.
I'm taking notes on everything.
I was a little hopped up on morphine, so that was interesting.
Well, you couldn't have a drink at your bar, so.
I know, right?
Go for the hard stuff?
She was way more wasted than I did.
Now I'm curious, but this was just a few days after that initial hospital where they told you you had leukemia, right? We're not that far down the line.
It's really funny when somebody tells you you're sick, sometimes all of a sudden you recognize that you're sick and your body just goes straight downhill.
Okay, because I was going to say you didn't feel that bad, but now you're saying you were on morphine.
So I knew when I went to the doctor that something was wrong, but I honestly thought, actually I'll tell you the truth of what I thought. I thought I had diabetes because at that moment it was the worst thing that I could imagine having, and I like to eat a lot of sweets, and I'm like, oh.
It finally got me.
Yeah. It got me.
The creature.
The diabetes. And,
the diabetes.
The beatus.
Wilford Brimley's going to come talk to me.
The diabetes. Yes.
And obviously it was leukemia. But, I had, I was running all the time getting ready for a wedding. And all of a sudden I was having trouble running. I was having trouble getting my mind to tell my legs to move.
Yeah.
And then the morning that I had the doctor's appointment, which was Tuesday morning, I went to go for a run and I couldn't get down the block. I physically couldn't move.
Yeah.
And I heard washing machine sounds in my head. And I've now known that that's a really bad thing if you hear a washing machine in your head.
Washing machine.
Well, you smell, which cycle? To list.
Smell eggs.
If you smell burnt toast and you hear washing machines.
Burnt toast is a stroke.
Right.
Yeah. Eggs.
Eggs. Also stroke.
Washing machine. Just the like that.
What is that? What does that mean? That's my question. What is a washing machine sound?
It was like.
Okay, well, Chelsea nailed it.
And you can really hear it.
Okay.
And apparently it's because my blood levels were so low. My body was working really hard to circulate what it had.
Huh.
That was like an over-circulation mode is what you were hearing?
I guess.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was really insane. So on Saturday night, I started having, on Friday, they put a port in my chest. So I had a big robot part in my chest.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And on Saturday, I started having what's called leukemic bone pain. So cancer cells don't grow like normal cells. They multiply on top of themselves and they grow really fast. And mine were growing inside my bones so fast, it felt like they were breaking my bones from the inside out. So they started me on morphine because they couldn't get the pain under control.
Wow.
Because all my bones felt, especially in my hips and my back and stuff, felt like it literally felt like they were breaking.
Yeah, they don't have anywhere to go. I mean, normal cancer can kind of spread.
Right.
These are kind of in a trapped confined in your bone. Space. Yeah.
Wow.
But so we ended up having an awesome marriage. My mom is still angry that I spent months finding these ridiculous blue shoes because I was going to be super cool and wear blue heels at my wedding. I've been married almost 7 years, and she's still angry that I had high heels on and I was on morphine, and she thought I was going to fall over the whole time.
We've been married over 7 years. That's okay. I guess the first bit doesn't count.
So she's mad at you for wearing the heels.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted her to wear
and
the heels.
And I spent 85 days in the hospital, which is a crazy amount of time if you think about it. And when you're immune compromised like I was, you couldn't have fresh flowers. You couldn't have food that had set out for an hour. There's all these restrictions. And one of them at the first hospital was I couldn't leave my room because they didn't have an airlocked place for me to be. And so I remember, like, at one point calling my mom going, like, I know what people in jail feel like.
Yeah.
And so although having leukemia is horrible, I have to say having these amazing friends and amazing nurses made it so much more bearable. Like, I had friends come and have pajama parties in my room and nurses that would dance with me.
And so now, fast forwarding, you found a match.
I did.
You got cured.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, because of your experiences, decided to become a nurse.
Yep.
And now are a nurse. Yeah. Working in the same place where you were, correct?
Yeah. So when I first got out of the hospital, they said, like, listen, you can't go back to your old career. It was too much stress, too much work. You can't do that. And I spent a lot of time trying to, like, pray and figure out, like, what am I supposed to do? And I really felt like the nurses in that hospital saved my life and that it would honor them to become a nurse. And I was like, okay, this is why I'm alive, so I'm going to go be a nurse. And I went to nursing school, and I was really privileged to get to work on the floor where I had my transplant with the nurses and the doctors who administered my transplant. I was able to help other patients administering their transplants to them, help them get ready for transplant, help take care of them after transplants. But after being on that floor for a while, it emotionally was really taking a toll on me because up until that point, I didn't realize that you could relapse once you'd had a transplant. And my first experience with that face-to-face was being on that floor. And so my nurse, who I love, pulled me aside and was like, go home. You're not working here anymore. You need to go someplace else. Wow. So I actually am really so excited now that I work at Be The Match. And I am a workup specialist, which basically means I'm a donor coordinator. So now I call donors and help them get set up to donate for other people to help save their lives.
So there's so much to talk about, but explain, like, in a nutshell, how easy it is to cure people and how they probably don't understand what the process really is for becoming a donor.
So it is a very easy process. All you have to do to get on the registry is go to bethematch.org, and they'll send you a kit which has, like, big Q-tips in it. You swab your cheek, you fill out the paper with your information, you mail it back in the prepaid box that they send you, and they put you on the registry. So only 25% of people that need a transplant have one in their family, so everybody else goes to the registry. And you're matched on what's called HLA cells. And basically, in order to find a match, you have to find somebody with the same heritage as you have. So if if you've done the ancestry DNA or something, and you know you have a background that's a really mixed background, those are the donors that we need on the registry. We need African American, Asian, Hispanic, people that are of mixed race. We're in desperate need of them because there are all those people out there who are in need of transplants and they can't find a match. So once you are called and somebody says to you, hey, guess what? I have some amazing news. You're a match. The first thing they do is ask you to just go do some blood work, which is super fast. You just go to LabCorp and do some blood work just to make sure that what we thought we saw on the swab was what we have. And if you really are still a match, most of our cases are what we call PBSC, which is kind of a glorified blood draw or blood donation. You get 5 shots over the course of 5 days, 1 shot a day for 5 days. And at the end of 5 days, you go into a center, and it takes 4 to 6 hours. You're hooked up to a machine, and they basically take the stem cells out that they've been creating with this medication that they're giving you, and then they put your regular blood back in. And I always joke with people and say, when you leave, you're not even down a pint. And the recovery from that is so fast. Most people say they're fully recovered in under a week. A lot of people go to work, 2 days later. So it's about 2 days off of work to do it. And it really is a cure for cancer. It's a cure for somebody who's been told that they don't have an option.
Well, it's a cure for more than just cancer, too. There, you were telling us off the air, it's like, 60 different types of things you can cure somebody with.
Yeah, so sickle cell, I think, is one of the amazing ones that we can cure. Aplastic anemia, any type of blood cancer, Hodgkin's and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Aren't they doing a lot of work with MS as well?
In research.
Yeah, in
what
research.
We're currently transplanting. We are currently transplanting in 47 different diseases, and we are currently under research to see what other diseases we can use the transplant process for.
And what was interesting was off the air, we were talking with Anne-Marie because she's had the transplant. I would have thought, and I would have been wrong, obviously, that it had to be somebody very similar to you, but you actually got the transplant from a guy.
Yep.
And so your DNA has changed.
Yep. I'm a dude.
And her blood says she's a man. Yeah. Like your DNA totally changes. We were blown away by that.
It's like you have clones. So my donor's actually donated twice. So he has 2 clones. So obviously, like, your fingerprints and whatever never are going to change. But your DNA does change. And if your blood types are different, the patient's blood type will change to what the donor's is. They can have some of your allergies. Like, allergy medicine that worked for me before transplant doesn't. But now I take what my donor takes and it does work.
We were just talking about that last week, I think it was, or maybe earlier this week, about the people getting allergies late in life, and somebody brought that up. Mm-hmm. Like, if you get a bone marrow transplant, everything changes.
Yeah.
Huh.
And I had no idea that it was so easy, because I think movies, TV, everything you've seen is like some giant sword comes in and they're scraping and it's painful. And this is something, like you said, it's a blood draw that's just taking more time.
Yeah.
And you're not even a pint down at the end of it.
And even if you do, even if for that smaller percentage that do need to donate marrow, you're in and out in 90 minutes. They anesthetize you, you're out, they pull what they need, and you're a little sore in your hips or your butt for a bit, and it's done.
No matter what, it's way easier than the image that's been portrayed out there.
Yeah, it's way easier. The recovery is way faster. And we at Be the Match are trying to break down every single barrier. So, like, we will call your job and talk to them. We'll help you recoup money you lost if you lost money from going to a physical exam or for day of donation. We can provide rides and pet care, child care, like whatever it is that's in your way of getting to donation. We can help you get over those barriers.
And obviously, there's a fun thing happening Saturday.
Yeah.
That's how this whole thing started. And it's so interesting to hear all the other stuff. But so the the 0.5K superhero beer run is Saturday at 11 Lakes Brewing. And they start at 10:30. And they're trying to raise, obviously, awareness for Be the Match and money. And so there's very little other than you having a beer and a donut and then another beer and then probably more beers after that.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. They'll have music out there. So 11 Lakes is arranged for music after the race. We'll have a bunch of silent auction items. So if, like, a bunch of them are snack packs, like, so you can drink beer and eat a bunch of bad for you snacks.
You probably earned it after those 1,640 feet.
Yeah.
You did something.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You can register on site or you can register ahead of time. It's cheap. It's $25 plus a $250 registration fee.
We'll put the link up on all of our social stuff, but I'm sure if you just Google it also, half K superhero beer run.
We're the first one that pops up, surprisingly enough.
There aren't a ton of those out there. Wow. Well, we covered a lot. I feel like we should have like 2 days worth of conversations because some of the stuff we were talking about off the air was crazy fascinating. Thank you guys so much for coming in to talk about it.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you guys a lot. I mean, this means so much to us that you're willing to talk about be the match at all, and that you're willing to encourage people to come to the event. So thank you.
Well, you got beer and donuts. Why would we not?
Yeah. I'm in it for the life-saving part.
Yeah, we didn't hear that whole other part.
Take out whatever you need. Take it all.
Probably before the beer and the donuts, right?
I mean, it's such an important thing, but you guys are also so fun. So, I mean, it's a great combination. Thank you guys for what you're doing.
Ah. Thank you.